Pacific Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The American Red Cross in Wisconsin is pleading for volunteers willing to help the Hurricane Helene relief. 30 volunteers with the American Red Cross of Wisconsin have answered the call in recent days. Volunteers will get training. They'll have to commit to 2 weeks of service. Anyone who's interested can sign up at redcross.org/volunteer. Democrat Kamala Harris at the birthplace of the Republican Party Thursday, picking up the endorsement of former GOP Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
She possesses some of the qualities of character that I most respect in any individual and any leader. Courage, especially at a moment like this.
Cheney says she's never voted for a Democrat for president, but she says now is a time to put country before party. Cheney has called Donald Trump a threat to democracy. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
He swings and drives one out towards right center. Taylor back, and it's gone! Mitchell, a two-run homer, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
That's what it sounded like on ESPN Radio as the Brewers beat the Mets 5-3 last night. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Today will be Game 3 of the Wild Card Series between the Brewers and the Mets. Jackson Chourio hit two home runs, and Garrett Mitchell hit a go-ahead two-run blast to move the Brewers in front in the win. Mitchell said he was excited for the opportunity to come up big.
Obviously, there's a lot of pressure there, but like at the same time, it's just enjoying the game and having fun. It's a kid's game, you know? Play it. Like I said, like those are the types of things you look at like when you're in the backyard. It was awesome, exciting. Still trying to come down from it, but just most importantly, excited to play another game, another day of baseball and come back out here tomorrow and do it again.
First pitch tonight is after 6 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play the Phillies on Saturday and Sunday to start the NLDS. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudahy Wee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we have a privilege not only to be here in Minnesota and then also part of the Civic Media Network out there in Wisconsin. And I feel blessed that we get a weekly update from the governor of Wisconsin, Haley. And so why don't we take a quick listen before we get to our guest. Ho-wah.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Here in Wisconsin, we're fortunate to have all four seasons, each one more beautiful than the last. So it's no wonder why we've seen back-to-back record-breaking years for Wisconsin tourism. And fall is one of the best times of year to get out and explore. Whether it's hiking in one of our beautiful state parks to see the fall colors, tailgating at Lambeau, strolling a local harvest festival, or visiting a pumpkin patch, apple orchard, or corn maze at one of our local family-owned farms, there's no shortage of ways to enjoy fall in Wisconsin. The fall tourism season is also an important economic engine for our state, especially for agricultural tourism, providing income for family farms and small businesses during the off-season and generating millions of dollars for our tourism industry. And this year, we're excited to have even more to offer at 4 NFL draft-themed corn mazes that celebrate our rich agricultural history and our excitement as we gear up to host the 2025 NFL Draft. Here in Wisconsin, farming and football are part of our DNA, and we wear our title of America's Dairyland and our cheese heads with pride. So we're encouraging everyone to get out there this fall to check out these corn mazes and all the amazing opportunities we have for agriculture and tourism in the state. You can also check out Travel Wisconsin's annual Fall Color Report online to track the fall colors and plan your next adventure. So have fun. Get out there and support our local farmers and producers this fall, and take care, folks. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thank you, Governor Evers, for that report. I also, before we get to our guest here, Robert Lilligren, I want to give Dr. Stately a quick shout out. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Dr. Stately.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely. I should hit the applause button here.
Yeah, Ho-Cheney Honk-Kobeske.
Right on. There you go, Haley. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, White Earth Citizen, Ojibwe, and we don't hold that against him. And it's great to have him on the show, as always. And just to chit-chat, it was good to see you, even very frequently, very quickly today. We were both heading towards meetings.
Yeah. Bonjour, Haley. Bonjour, Robert. So good to be here. Thanks for your graciousness and not holding my Ojibwe identity against me. I realize I'm a little outnumbered here.
Just today.
But, yeah, it was good to see you in Crossing today. Of course, it was Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI's, Four Sisters Farmers Market Day. And it was a great day for the market. So good to see you there.
Yeah, a lot of people. And we had a Ho-Chunk doing a food thing and showing us how to pickle stuff, and I like the watermelon pickle the best.
Oh, nice. I didn't get to try that, unfortunately, but I did get to judge the pickle contest last Thursday at the Four Sisters Farmers Market, which was a great event. And you know, we have a couple of initiatives at NACDI under our Four Sisters, or under our food sovereignty, Four Sisters. We have the Farmers Market and we have an urban farm, and it's about food sovereignty and educating our community about healthy food and healthy eating habits. And a theme this season has been preservation. So there's been a whole schedule of preservation classes and trainings at the market, which I just think is such a great thing.
And also, the market is spearheaded by a Ho-Chunk. Ho-wa.
Right. Destiny Jones, our market manager, and she just does a great job. And she has really grown the market in scope, and now we're kind of almost too big, right, for our little tiny parking lot. So it's a good problem to have, but we're trying to figure out how to be able to continue expanding the market to increase food access in our community and to give entrepreneurs and vendors space.
Yeah, I like the big idea of a big tent in that parking lot once a month.
Yeah, and I think you probably during our open house, you've seen it. With a big tent set up, it's kind of cool in that space. But yeah, maybe we just need a new, bigger building.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. I smell an initiative here and some a gala or sorts coming up.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. But just since you brought it up, you know, NACDI purchased that building with our partner, American Indian Community Development Corporation, to redevelop the site. And, you know, we've had a couple of dips in the economy since we purchased it. They kind of put the redevelopment farther off on the horizon. And now we're really still in contemplation and communication with the community about what to do with the building. And it's, you know, it's this tiny little building. It gets totally, every square foot gets put to use by, but it's kind of become a community center, right? And almost a little bit of a landmark on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. So I was like, oh, do we want to keep this building and maybe look for another one, or we shall see. It's good to have options.
That is good to have options, and it has grown to the place to be. I know people from all over Turtle Island come to not only Franklin Avenue, but the coffee shop and the gallery. And, you know, I see selfies of people that are kind of famous, and I get, you know, FOMO.
Yeah, no, it's real. It's really something, especially our Powell Grounds Coffee Shop. It's a well-established community hub. It's so great. Our offices are right off the coffee shop. And I got to tell you guys how often I'll be sitting at my, you know, sitting in the office and think, oh, I really need to talk to this person in the community and look out in the coffee shop. There they are. Right. Yeah. So it's just, it's such a benefit. And then our little gallery. So high profile. This last week, we hosted last Friday, visitors from a National Association of Native Elected State Legislators. So they're from all across Turtle Island and Hawaii as well, but they came to our gallery. Senator Mary Kunesh from Minnesota, a Native sister, was the host. She connected us, but it was just wonderful to talk about the work of NACDI and the work of the community here to this national audience.
Yeah, you know, part of your work and others' work in the community, really, when I'm out and about on my other job, Robert, I'm really proud to talk about what happens here in Minneapolis and St. Paul and surrounding areas, and how the nations are get along with each other and support each other. And that's something fairly new and really exciting, and you're a big part of that.
Oh, that's very kind. And I love that you brought that up, Robert. And we've been very deliberate here to kind of shed the yoke of colonization that wants Native people and Native organizations, tribes for that matter, to view each other as enemies and competitors for resources and competitors for service populations. And we've put effort into being collaborative. That's one of the things I talk to these state legislators about.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we're going to take a quick break here. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The Met Council is the governing planning agency for the Twin Cities metro region. One of our biggest responsibilities is to create a long-range plan every decade that imagines the best future for all of us. We need your help. We want to know your thoughts on the latest plan. We're calling it Imagine 2050. We'll use it as a guide to shape public policy and drive growth over the next 30 years. It'll help us improve the everyday essential services we provide, including transportation, housing, water resources, and parks and trails, with input from the 7 counties and 181 cities and townships in the region. But we're still missing the most important piece, and that's you. Visit engage.metrocouncil.org to learn more about Imagine 2050 and share your own thoughts and hopes for the Twin Cities region. Let's imagine a better, brighter future together. engage.metrocouncil.org. That's engage.metrocouncil.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with our friend Robert Lilligren. And Robert, before we get down and dirty here with politics, let's talk a little bit. I'd love to talk a little bit about Met Council. And I don't know if you heard that last spot.
I did. I was kind of surprised. I'm glad to see they're spreading the love at Met Council.
Right, right. Well, and talk about the project. It's exciting, and I know a little bit about it, but you're one of the people that are making things happen in here in the Seven County area.
Well, as are you. So, but it was really good to hear. So the Metropolitan Council is our regional governance body. It's a 16-member body plus a chair appointed by the governor, by our Governor Walz. To manage the region, the big things that we run, the transit system, wastewater system, fund and plan for parks and open spaces and housing. And we are the planning agency for the region. So as you heard in that PSA, every 10 years, we do our 20-year plan. So right now we're planning our 2050 comprehensive plan. As you heard, it's branded Imagine 2050. So this, the committee that I chair at Met Council, Community Development Committee, is the hub of the planning efforts across the enterprise. So I've been buried in 2050 for maybe the last 6-9 months. So it's good to hear it being kind of taken out in the public. And mm-hmm. I think, Robert, what you're talking about is the efforts that we've done at the Met Council to center Native voices and Native priorities and Native perspectives in our regional planning. And Robert Pilot was the Ho-Chunk representative on our advisory council, our American Indian Advisory Council. Great work to the whole council. So we had a Ho-Chunk rep, an Ojibwe rep. But then predominantly it was Dakota and Lakota people. That's whose land we're on. Mm-hmm. And you guys knocked it out of the park. Your report and your recommendations were so thoughtful and so thorough that they've been incredibly well received within the policymakers and the senior leadership of the Metropolitan Council. We're already attaching them not just to the 2050 plan, but to 2025 budgets and initiatives. Mm-hmm. And our commitment, my commitment, is that we will be able to show not just the community, but the incredibly high caliber people who are on the advisory committee that we heard you and we are taking action. That was the first thing this group told us. We don't want acknowledgement. We want commitments and action. So that is what you will see.
It's exciting being part of that. And Before we get into politics, there was just that one. I think we talked about this before, but during our meetings, they'd bring different parts of of the, I don't want to say government, but parts of the Met Council in, and I had no idea that they had so much to do with sewage. And we were talking about that in the presentation. I mean, all these presentations blew my mind about what the Met Council does. But also talking about there was three fish alive in the 30s, 1930s, right, between St. Paul and Minneapolis. And right, then they kind of said, well, when they counted that third fish, it really was two because the third one died. And that's how bad the raw sewage was back then. And heck, I would I'll swim in the Mississippi now before a Bedote.
Yeah, Met Council has done great work. The city of Minneapolis as well. Water is actually cleaner when it leaves the city of Minneapolis than when it enters it. So, so the massive regional wastewater system is under Met Council's control. It's a fee for service, so it doesn't take any sort of taxpayer dollars. It's one of the best run sewage treatment systems in the country, and it's kind of an untold story. I guess people just like to talk about effluence, but it's a fact of life.
Yeah, it was interesting, and it's very interesting, and it's we're blessed to have Allison working with the Met Council that's got all these really big leaders involved with the Met Council now from the Native community, and I feel blessed just to be on those coattails.
Yeah, no, you're an integral part, and Allison Wachow is our Native Relations and Tribal Relations staffer, brought on specifically to do this work. She's incredible, just incredible at the work. But the group was really incredible. And one of the things, and you know, I brought this up in different forums recently, and you know, the Met Council members and senior leadership have embraced this work, and they understand the importance of it, and they understand the importance of action and commitment. And you know, I'm so used when we first started presenting this work to Met Council and committees, you know, I had all my arguments written down that I always have to kind of push forward in a conversation like this. And my council colleagues were jumping in and saying, well, what about this? And pushing one of my points, or we should try this, or we should do this. And I was just, you know, I had to say to them, I go, look, you guys got to realize I'm used to being the only one saying these things in the room, you know? And so it's a different day. And I think it is an acknowledgement that it is a different day. So how do we leverage this? How do we leverage this for progress for the community?
You know, it's funny, the 6 or 7 years you've been on the show, Robert, I think we have been talking about this change in slowly but surely, you know, from you not knowing the Indian kids that you went to high school with that appeared to now that we're loud and proud and we're getting our, you know, the seat at the table.
Right. I agree, Robert. And then to see that impact beyond the Native community, right? I mean, I'm sitting on a deliberative policymaking body of 17 people, and I'm the only Native there. And so to hear these non-Native colleagues bringing up our issues with our perspective, it's amazingly refreshing. And it's not, you know, not all problems are solved. I get that. There's lots of work to be done, but it feels like what I've been banging my head against this wall for what, 30, 40 years, and to feel the wall actually move a little, it's like, oh, that actually feels good.
Wow. Just a big applause to you and people that are listening to the show and watching the show on Facebook and YouTube. Robert's the real deal, and I get to go down to a Native American Community Development Institute and see everybody in action. So it's fun. It's a family. It's welcoming, and there's a lot of work getting done.
Yep. Everyone, welcome to stop down. Visit Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop. Visit All My Relations Arts Gallery. Visit the American Indian Culture Corridor. See our gorgeous, newly remodeled Indian Center. It's amazing.
All right. Well, we got like 4 minutes here. Let's talk about what's happening here. I know our friends in Wisconsin that listen to the show. You only need 3 people in each district to put this over in a good way, and so every vote counts. And we know that here in Minnesota and all over Turtle Island.
Yep, and those numbers, those 3 votes per district, 5 votes per district, those are consistent in a lot of states. So that means people listening, Native community members, friends, allies, bring 2 people with you to the polls, right? And you're amplifying your vote. NACD has a project called Make Voting a Tradition. And it's a year-round, multi-generational engagement effort, but of course around elections. It's about getting people registered, getting people to vote. That's our primary focus. And we're part of what's a 5-state strategy, where there are 5 states where the Native votes are enough to swing the statewide election. And so we're working in collaboration with several other states nationally. In 2020, we were part of then a 7-state strategy, the same approach. And 2 of the states actually flipped because of the Native vote.
Yes.
Arizona and I think it was Michigan, but don't quote me on that. But Arizona,
I think it was. That's amazing. So,
you know, we're not huge in numbers, but we're a critical part of the electorate. We're a swing electorate, and that's power, right? That's building political power that we can exercise.
Yeah, great work. And so what, we got a couple minutes here. It was interesting watching the debate and listening to the debate and hearing a lot of non-answers, Harvard kind of mumbo jumbo lawyer stuff, and then Walls coming off as the person that he is.
Right. I thought he came off as very genuine. You know, Vance was lying. I mean, just outright lying. Trump saved Obamacare and things like that. And then they dig in. I just thought it was interesting that they dig into some bombastic exaggerations that Waltz made 10 or more years ago and had to drill into those, like somehow he's a dishonest guy. And you have this other guy just lying every other sentence, you know. It's like, okay, this doesn't feel quite balanced or equitable, but yeah.
I've been known to be a 10-frame bowler, you know, get those last three strikes there and pull off a good game. And I think Walls did when he mentioned, well, was the election real or not? And he wouldn't answer it.
Right. Well, he has answered. No, he was on a conservative podcast, I think. And he said, did Trump win the election? Yes. J.D. Vance said, straight up, yes, he won the 2020 election. So, I mean, what do you even do with that, right? If someone can't even base themselves in fact and reality.
Well, my problem is when I came back from New York, we only got a minute left. My problem was that I have a cab driver telling me that what has Harris done? And I'm going, Harris was the vice president. You're getting really confused.
Right. Well, and she was a tiebreaker in the Senate, right? So yeah. I'm surprised they don't lift that up more. Because she, because of her, we have better laws in this country.
Absolutely. Hey.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Union machinists are on strike at the Miller Brewery in Milwaukee. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
What made Milwaukee famous has made the area outside the Miller campus a strike zone. About 40 workers were picketing. The union rejected Molson Coors' recent offer, citing inadequate wages compared to other trades and inflation. Molson Coors maintains that their offer is competitive. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Wisconsin's Attorney General will not get to review sealed bankruptcy documents for the Catholic Church in southeast Wisconsin. Reports say a federal judge ruled this week against opening papers sealed nearly a decade ago. Josh Call wanted to look at the documents for his investigation of clergy sex abuse in the Milwaukee Archdiocese. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Headed to the theaters this weekend? Here are some films you might want to see and some you might want to avoid. The sequel to Todd Phillips' The Joker, Joker Folie au Deux, hits the screen this weekend. Joaquin Phoenix is back playing the title character opposite Lady Gaga, who plays Harley Quinn. The film is much anticipated but receiving mixed reviews at about 50% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. Family drama Whitebird will also be out in wide release. The film is being called the follow-up to the best-selling book Wonder and stars Gillian Anderson and Helen Mirren. Whitebird is pulling in 85% so far on Rotten Tomatoes. And this week's dose of horror comes from the new Mel Gibson film Monster Summer. Gibson plays a retired police detective who teams up with kids at a camp to face a monstrous danger and save their island. The film has not yet been reviewed, so be warned. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Strong Hearts offers culturally appropriate support and advocacy. Call or text them at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, as Haley just said, we're in the beginning of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we'll be talking with the Strong Hearts Deputy Executive Officer Rachel Karjunk. And Rachel is a tribal citizen of Sault Ste. Marie Tribe and Chippewa Indians and has more than a decade of experience working in the field of gender-based violence within Indian country, and has been working to support the services department for Strong Hearts, which has been operated for more than seven years. I want to just say hello and welcome back, Rachel.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
This is great. And I always like to bring up the fact that I think Strong Hearts has been around. This is their eighth season, and they started the same time Native Roots Radio started. And I remember that it was a kind of a 5-day a week business hours kind of thing in the beginning. And it's really expanded into a powerhouse organization that I know they run ads in the Wodok, which is a Ho-Chunk magazine, our tribal magazine, and things like that. And it's great to see. And I think I ran into a couple people a couple of years ago at that big powwow down. What the heck is that powwow called? The biggest powwow? The Gatherings of the Nations. I ran into Strong Hearts down there, which I thought was just great. And we're really happy to have you on again, Rachel, and talk about things.
Yes, thank you. I just started back in late February. So I'm still pretty new to the organization, and I consider Strong Hearts a pretty young organization, right? But we have experienced some major growth. You know, we started off, you know, in a small limited hours, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And thankfully we're at the place where we can, you know, operate 24/7. Right. And we have, you know, we operate every day of the week, holidays, nights, weekends, because we know that violence occurs at any given moment in our communities.
Exactly. Before I get to the questions, I, one of the things that I've always taken away with our last conversation is how important your service is, and to my heart too, where you can find help for people with pets. That just warms my heart, because that's always a big obstacle in people's minds. So I just want to say a big peeny geegee and thank you for that. And that's an amazing thing. But let's talk a little bit about the misconceptions about domestic violence, because there's so many different kinds.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about domestic violence is, of course, that, you know, it has to include physical violence, right? That's our advocates here. I wasn't, you know, punched, I wasn't slapped, I wasn't kicked. So I don't really know if that's domestic violence. But we're able to, you know, our advocates provide a lot of DV education around what is domestic violence, right? It's important, especially during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, to talk about, you know, what is domestic violence? Let's name it for what it is. Let's define it. So domestic violence is a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain and maintain power and control over the other partner. And so the way that abusive people use these tactics doesn't always include physical violence. Now, sometimes it does, of course, but there are other forms of, you know, abusive tactics that are used to maintain that power control. And that can be emotional abuse, psychological abuse, financial abuse, technology abuse. Really, all of those things kind of are able to, you know, maintain or gain that power over one intimate partner. And so that's something that our advocates can do, you know, when someone's experiencing or think they might consider themselves to be victims, or they know that they're experiencing something. And so they can give us a call, and, you know, our advocates can walk them through, talk them through what are they experiencing? What are their feelings around that? Really validate them. And, you know, sometimes it is just talking, right? Sometimes it's, maybe they're not ready to safety plan yet. Maybe they're not ready to leave their abusive relationship. Maybe they just need someone to talk to. So, you know, we're here for all aspects for when our contacts reach out and need us.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit what your organization has planned for this month to bring awareness to this very, very important issue?
I'd love to. So we are actually having a community chat. So we've in the past have had several community chats around different topics. And of course, to celebrate Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we're going to focus our community chat around Breaking the Cycle Happens in Community. So we're having that on October 16th at 2 p.m. Central. Thank you so much. It's going to be broadcasted on our Zoom platform, and then it'll be available on our YouTube page at a later date. And so, like I said, we've hosted a couple community chats already, and we get really good feedback and really good community input from all across Indian country. And so for this particular community chat, like I said, we're gonna talk about domestic violence. We're gonna talk about some of those misconceptions. And then we're really gonna talk about, you know, how much of a crucial role it is that communities and individuals play in addressing and preventing domestic violence. Yeah, and so actually, you can also go on our website. We have a link on our website on our homepage. If you scroll down just a little bit, it's under DVAM Community Chat, and you can register there as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned your campaign and the Breaking the Cycle Happens in the Community. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's so many ways that, you know, what we mean by that. And I think one of the first things is, of course, like having conversations like this, right? Raising awareness around what is domestic violence. We really need to like name it for what it is. And then, you know, understand how frequently our relatives are impacted by it. As Native Americans, we face some of the highest rates of domestic violence and intimate partner violence. It's like more than 4 in 5 Native Americans will experience intimate partner violence in their lifetime, like 84%. Wow. That's astounding. So that's something that, you know, we raise and we want more and more people to talk about. And then we have to consider ways that we can help victim survivors who are going through it, right? So I'm really excited for the community chat, because we're going to actually go into some actionable steps that people as community members, as individuals can take to be that support system to someone who's experiencing domestic violence.
Wow. Can you give an example of that? Action steps. There we go. Actionable.
Yeah. So I think one of the, you know, most critical, I mean, there's so many good, helpful things that we're going to go through, but I think the most important, or one of the most important, is really knowing what's available, knowing what resources are out there that survivors can access. And of course, one of those resources is Strong Hearts Native Helpline. You know, we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're confidential, we're anonymous, we're empowerment based, right? And, you know, we're trauma informed, and not just trauma informed in the way that, you know, there's that acute trauma that happens, but we're also historical trauma informed, right? So we understand what it means to be impacted by, you know, blood memory, stuff that you can't really describe unless it's in your DNA, it's in your history, right? And then, of course, we're culturally honoring. All of our 100% of our advocates are Native American. And so we know how important it is when you're seeking help and seeking, you know, assistance or support, how important it is to have someone on the other end of that phone or text or chat to be able to say, you know, we have some shared identity, some shared values. You know, we hold very highly trust and culture and interrelatedness. So I think that those are, you know, as a resource, it's really helpful for folks to know about us, so that if they have a relative who's experiencing it, they can say, hey, you can reach out to Strong Hearts Native Helpline if you want someone to talk to about this.
And we talked about this too before, Rachel, and I think one of the things I take away from our conversation is how important, well, first off, how small Indian country is. So how important it is to talk to somebody that doesn't know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
Exactly. I mean, I come from a small, my tribe is very large, but it's still Indian country small. My tribal community still feels small. I can walk into my IHS clinic and I'm related to a good amount of people in that waiting room. If our DV services are located in our public governmental buildings or our law enforcement buildings or what have you, you know, you run the risk of running into someone you know in a time of crisis, in a time of, you know, where you want it to be private and confidential. And so that's something that, you know, we really, hold highly as a value of ours, that we are anonymous and we are confidential, and you can reach out to us. And if you want to get, referred to a direct service provider, that's something that we have access to do. We can do warm handoffs and things like that. We can share information. But it's not required, right? Like we're going to meet the survivor where they're at. If they just want to talk, let's talk. If you want, if you're ready to access services and, you're in a certain area and we can try to point you in that direction, we're going to do that too, if that's what you're comfortable with.
I think it's so important to talk to somebody, because I know, it's hard for you to believe, but I get stress. And if I talk it through and I can hear it myself when I'm talking to another human being, whether it's on the phone or wherever, that it either puts it in perspective that it's a big deal or it's not a big deal, or I do need help. And that's so important for Strong Hearts helpline to be there.
Yeah. Like I said, our advocates are very, trained in the tactics of domestic violence and what that looks like and how it can look for people in all walks of life. And to know that you can reach out to us and we're not going to not believe you. We're going to, validate what you're saying. And a lot of the times people, are like, oh man, I just feel like I'm going crazy. I feel like, is this happening? Like it takes really kind of unraveling it all and talking through with someone, some of those, that DV education that really helps support people in understanding where they're at in their victimization and where they're at in reaching that survivor thriver type mentality.
Well, and seeing that we're on the radio, Haley, I wondered, we're going to take a quick break here. If you can just pop out the helpline again and the number, and people can jot it down or pull over and jot it down or write it down. I wonder if you could do that while we're about to take a break.
Yeah, so Strong Hearts Native Helpline is 24/7. You can call or text 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or chat anonymously on stronghearts.helpline.org.
Hey, we're going to be right back with Rachel Karshank, Strong Hearts Native Helpline. We'll be right back after the short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Discover the emotional depth and vivid storytelling of Jay White's Arikara proper at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. This solo exhibition celebrates Arikara culture through the lens of an urban Indian perspective. Experience themes of empowerment, depictions of Native women, stars, and star quilts within White's vibrant acrylic paintings. Arikara proper is showing now through October 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Get inspired by Jay White's powerful storytelling on canvas. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Nice.
That's pretty good. Hey, we are back here. And we are with Rachel Karshank, Strongheart's Native Helpline Deputy Executive Officer. And it's been a really, it's always great to celebrate your organization and come on here and talk about real things and in a real way. So I was wondering, is there anything else you want to cover in our interview before we get going here? This is a shorter segment, and I want to make sure that you have opportunity to speak your truth and Strongheart's Native Helpline's truth.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, we want to remind everyone that, you know, if you're not ready right now to call, text, or chat, you know, you're not ready to talk about your own experience with violence, or maybe, you know, you have a relative and they don't feel like they're ready to talk or reach out, you can still, you know, check out our website, check out our social media. We have a lot of great, you know, articles and resources available online to support survivors, even if they're not at that point where they want to chat and talk through some of their victimization. Another thing is that, you know, we do a lot of education around not just domestic violence or our services, but other things that impact victimization in Indian country. So we talk about jurisdiction, we talk about historical trauma. So, a lot of times we can come out to communities and provide presentations. We can do virtual presentations, interviews like this, conversations like this. You know, reach out to us, check out our website. You can, you know, there's ways to contact us. That's not through the line if you're not, you know, at that point where you want to do that. And so, like I said, reach out to us, follow us on social media, share our stuff. You know, talking about domestic violence, we need to normalize it because it is so pervasive in our communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what great work Strongheart's does and the communities that help our victims. And that was a staggering percentage that you brought up with us Native people. What it was, 84.5% of mm-hmm. us have had.
And the reality is I think that's probably small. I think that's in my experience, you know, I don't know a Native person or family that hasn't experienced violence in the home in some way. So, you know, the reality is that it has such significant impacts in our communities, in our families, and to us as individuals, right? And so having organizations like Strongheart's Native Helpline, having organizations that are, you know, culturally honoring and responsive to our victimization, I think is so important. It's something that we continue to have to, you know, uplift and really elevate so that we can get to a point where we can eradicate this violence and be in a place of healing and culture and community support for one another.
Yeah, I believe Strongheart's is a cycle breaker and in helping curate that and helping our community. That it's just amazing work, and every year that we talk, it's just I get emotional because it's great work, and you're still here and you're still helping people, and that's huge. That's huge for our community, but also it shows the integrity that your organization has.
Yes, you know, like I know that we've experienced a lot of great growth. We've gone from that limited hours to full 24/7. But there's still so much work to do, and we recognize that. So, you know, we're always looking for ways that we can continue to spread the message, you know, share information about our services. And also, you know, we have a database, we have a native provider database, so that when callers or contacts call us and, you know, they are ready to seek shelter or seek legal advocacy, we can try to point them in the right direction for that if that's what they want. So, you know, we have a, you know, we have that awareness and DV education piece, but we also have, you know, actual direct resources to be able to support folks when they are ready to leave, because it is it's a difficult transition to make, you know, experiencing violence. It's not easy. This is not an easy thing to escape and, you know, respond to, and everyone is at different places in that. And so we really recognize that we're really victim centered, trauma informed, native centered. And so, like I said, reach out if you're experiencing, or if you think you're experiencing domestic violence, or if you have a relative who's experiencing, or even if you use violence, right? We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you about what is abusive. What are some of these abusive tactics? What's a healthy relationship compared to an unhealthy relationship? So we really want to get the message out that, you know, we're here to support our relatives in fighting this crisis of domestic violence in our communities.
Well, and to amplify what you said earlier too, it comes in so many different forms, and emotional abuse. It's hard for the partner to reach out because of what has been said to them for a long time to make them believe they're worthless or whatever. Absolutely. And we got to talk about those other forms of abuse too, right?
Oh yeah, I mean there's so much. There's isolation tactics, right? There's name calling. I emotional abuse, emotional wounds are sometimes worse than the physical, right? The physical wounds can fade. The emotional wounds really, really stay in there. It's really important to understand that domestic violence has all of those different pieces, and that, impacts how people access services, how they form relationships with one another, how they maintain relationships, how they cope, right, with everyday stressors. So when you're dealing with domestic violence and then you've got all these other different stressors in life, it makes it extremely difficult. And, you know, our advocates are trained and ready to talk through some of these things and really listen and validate our callers.
Yeah. You know, there's a 12-step program called ALITOT, and their first step is something's wrong. And if you feel that something's wrong, check it out. Give Strong Hearts a call, and see if you feel like something is wrong, and they can talk you through it and listen.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's really it. We're, you know, we make that contact, or we respond to that contact, and we really let the survivor kind of, you know, tell us where they want to go. Do they just want to talk? Do they just want to explain their situation and maybe feel like, you know, they're not alone in this situation? Do they want to have help with safety planning? We can do that as well. Do they want a direct connect to a legal advocate somewhere in their community or, you know, close to their community? We can do all of those things. But really, I think the most important factor is letting the victim survivor kind of drive that bus and be in, kind of take some of that power back for themselves.
Absolutely. Haley, listening to this is just it really warms our heart that we're able to amplify this message.
Absolutely. I think we just have about a little over a minute left. Rachel, can you please tell our listeners how to reach out to Strong Hearts?
Yes. Let me pull up, because I don't know it. It's crazy that I should know this by heart. But you can call or text us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-844-7-NATIVE. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or you can chat to us online at our website, www.strongheartshelpline.org. Again, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Reach out to us. Or like I said, you can follow us on social media. We're Strong Hearts DV on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I just love the fact that somebody at any time, 24 hours a day, can get on the chat and start chatting away and be anonymous. And that's a beautiful thing, because not all abuse happens 9 to 5. And it's great. And I appreciate to have you on again, Rach.